Well, good morning, brethren. Welcome to the second day of the Feast of Tabernacles in Glenwood Springs, Colorado. You know, it's just wonderful to look out here and see God's people all gathered here to learn, to rejoice, and fellowship. You know, and it's, you people are beautiful to God. Do you know that? God looks down and He sees you all here, ready to learn, and it's a beautiful in His eyes. Even you, Matt. I always have to kid Matt a little bit. Matt and Marita. The M&M connection. But Matthew's a wonderful man and one of the most generous people that I know. And a wonderful friend. Well, as Mark said, this is Family Day. And we're going to have a message for our young people. We haven't done this for a while. We used to back in the day. Remember, we always had Youth Day. And we try to involve the young people. And, you know, we kind of got away from that. And for a long time with our feast sites here, that early on we didn't have a lot of kids. We didn't have a lot of young people. But now we have some young people. And I want you to know we're so thankful to have these young people here today. Well, I know that most of you like sports of some kind. I know the young people do, and a lot of older people as well. And so today, I'm going to compare the sport of running the relay in the Olympics to our race that we must run to enter God's kingdom. Now, you young people, I want you to know, you're very important to God's church. And we as a church have lost so many of our young people. And this is a tragedy and should not have happened. You know, as a church, I think we need to rethink how we deal with our young people. We need to show them that they are an important part of the church. And we need to learn how to integrate them into the church. Now, you young people, you know it's not your fault that God called your parents. I mean, it's not your parents' fault that God called them. Maybe that makes better sense. Anyway, God decides whom He will call. And I hope none of you young people here today wish your parents were not in the church. You know, because sometimes you think, oh, if they weren't in the church, it would be so much easier and I wouldn't be different from other kids. And, you know, my kids went through that. You know, those of us that have raised kids, we know how that is. But to be called by God to be part of His church is a calling of the highest order and not to be taken lightly. Because God did call your parents, you have great opportunities and blessings God can give you through your parents. You see, if your parents are obeying God, they will be blessed, and through them, so will you. Now let's go back to our spiritual lives and sports. The Apostle Paul compared our lives as Christians to running a race. If you'll turn to 1 Corinthians 9, 1 Corinthians 9, starting in verse 24. 1 Corinthians 9, starting in verse 24. Don't you know that those who run a race all run, but only one receives the prize? This is the way that you are to run, in order that you may obtain the prize. For everyone who is striving for mastery controls himself in all things. Of course, they do this so that they may receive a corruptible crown. But we are striving for an incorruptible crown. So our race is for a spiritual purpose and for a reward in God's kingdom, our trophy. You know, in sports, in a race, only one team or one person wins. However, in God's race, you don't have to finish first. You just have to cross the finish line. Now, today's message is for both parents and their children, and the responsibility we have to prepare our children for the world to come. You know, in just a few months, countries across the world will come together to compete in the Winter Olympics in Sochi, Russia. In 2016 will be the next Summer Olympics in Rio de Janeiro. And one of the most exciting events of the Summer Games is the 4x100 relay. It is always on the last night and always in prime time. The most critical part of this event is the passing of the baton. And if you want a title for this message, that is the title, The Passing of the Baton. Now, the U.S. team has not always had success here doing this. Here were the headlines. In Athens, Greece, 2004, shoddy baton passing by the U.S. men's relay team allows British relay team to pull off an upset. The women's team was qualified for a Boston exchange. Beijing, China, 2008, Summer Olympic Games. Both U.S. relay teams, men's and women's, dropped the baton on the exchange to the anchor leg. Neither team made it past the semifinals. London, England, 2012 Summer Olympic Games, they did a little better. Men's relay team wins silver, women's relay team wins gold. As you can see, success is not guaranteed. The relay, like any event, starts with preparation or training, followed by a qualification period, and finally, the primetime event. Now, unlike countries like Italy and Poland, and other countries probably, which are known for having a more dedicated relay team training, the United States always has several contenders for medals in the individual sprints. And those individual sprints always take priority over the relays. So it's only after those individual events are over that the runners who have come through uninjured turn their attention to the relays. In our spiritual lives, this type of last-minute preparation is not acceptable. So how does one go about winning a race? Well, number one is preparation. So how do you, as young people, prepare for this spiritual race? As parents, how do you help your children be prepared? Let's turn to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4, starting in verse 1. And we'll go through verse 15. It has a lot to say about our children. Proverbs 4, verse 1. O children, hear the instruction of a father, and be attentive in order to know understanding. For I give you good doctrine, do not forsake my law. For I was my father's son, tender and the only one beloved in the sight of my mother. He also taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. And verse 5, get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not, or turn away from the words of my mouth. So how do you get wisdom? How do you get understanding? You get it from the teaching of your parents and you get it from the church. Verse 6, do not forsake her, and she shall keep you. Love her, and she shall preserve you. And verse 7, wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom, and with all you're getting, get understanding. Well, as some of us older people know, you know, it takes a long time to get wisdom. Wisdom is something that comes with age, something that you learn all through life, wisdom and understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote you. She shall bring you honor when you embrace her. She shall place upon your head a garland of grace. She shall bestow upon you a crown of glory. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. So God even promises a longer life if we, young people, if you listen and hear your parents and obey your parents. Verse 11, I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right paths. And that's what your parents try to do. Teach you the way of wisdom and lead you in the right way, in the right paths. Verse 12, when you go, your steps shall not be hampered, and when you run, you shall not stumble. So, when you run this race that we're going to run, and we are running, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. So you keep your way from doing evil and going down the wrong paths. Verse 13, keep hold of instruction and do not go, keep her, for she is your life. Enter not to the path of the wicked, like we just read. In verse 15, avoid it, do not go in it, turn from it, and pass on. Now this is not a sermon on child rearing, so each of you parents have to raise your children and teach them about God's laws in your own way. And let's go to Psalms chapter 78, verses 1 through 7. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will speak dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob, and he appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should teach them to their children, so that the generation to come might know them, children which shall be born, and they shall arise and tell them to their children, so that they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Now you parents, you also have to decide what you will allow them to do, and what you will not allow them to do. You know, children are free moral agents after a certain age, and have to make their own choices, and become responsible for their own actions. Now God very much allows us to make and learn from our own mistakes, doesn't he? And we've all made plenty of mistakes, I'm sure. So what age is this age for children? Well, it depends upon the child and the parent. Now let's go to Proverbs 22. I'll read one verse there, Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, He will not depart from it. Now notice that. When he is old. That means, to me anyway, that sometimes you can train him up in the way that he should go, but he goes another way. And later on, maybe they come to himself and they come back. So just because they go out and go astray doesn't mean that they're lost. Now, as a parent, we need to give our children opportunities to ask questions and make decisions. In so doing, we need to be careful not to put our children into spiritual situations they're not ready for. Let's take the Sabbath, for example. It's our duty and responsibility as a parent to teach our children the wonderful meaning and keeping of God's Sabbath. That it is a day of rest, and that blessings come from keeping His laws. You have done your job. Let's go to Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Now, as you'll turn over to Exodus 20, Exodus 20 and verse 12, this is the fifth commandment. Exodus 20:12. Honor your father and your mother, so that the days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you. So you young people, you see, if you obey God, keep His commandments, you are guaranteed a long life on the earth. Now some children will accept this, but as we who have all raised children know that many of them don't. If you have a child, a teenager, who rebels against the Sabbath, is it any good going to come from forcing him or her to keep the Sabbath in the letter, for they certainly are not doing it in the spirit? And some may acquire a rebellious attitude toward the day, wishing themselves to be as far away from the Sabbath and its so-called restrictions as they can possibly get. You, as a parent, have to make that decision. But remember, God does not force us to do anything against our will. And God's timing is impeccable. He calls us when the time is right. Now, parents, this is for you. Don't give up or be discouraged if your child goes off completely and does his or her own thing, totally disregarding what he has been taught, he or she has been taught. Jesus told a story in the Bible about such a son. And we can read about that in Luke chapter 15. Luke 15, verses 11 through 24. Of course, this is about the prodigal son. Luke 15, starting in verse 11. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, give me that portion of the property which falls to me. And he divided to him his living. So he gave him his half of his inheritance. And not many days after, the younger son gathered everything together and departed into a distant country, and there he wasted all his substance, living in debauchery. So he lived the high life, he lived the good life, and then he was broke. And after he had spent everything, there arose a severe famine throughout the land, throughout that country, and he began to be in need. Then he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. You couldn't get much lower than that. And he was longing to fill his stomach with the husks that the swine were eating, but no one gave him anything. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have an abundance of bread, and I am dying of hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. And I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was moved with compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And his son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son.'" I want you to think about that. What we want to focus on here was the attitude of this son. He was very humble and very repentant. You know, he wasn't come back bragging or swaggering. He was very low, very humble, and very repentant. And now, verse 22. "But the father said to his servant, 'Bring out a robe, and the best robe, clothe him, and give him the ring for his hands and sandals for his feet. And bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, but now is alive again.'" He was lost, but is found. And they begin to be merry. And so look, you parents, at the father's attitude. Did he say, "Get out of here. I give you all of the inheritance and you wasted it. I disown you. I don't want nothing to do with you. You spent it all. Go away." No. He welcomed him back. He was very happy and loving, and he was glad that his son had come back to him. So that's something that we need to remember when we're dealing with our children. One more note to parents. It's very important that you prepare your children to function in this society when they become adults. You know, while you need to safeguard them from the evils of this world as little children, be mindful that you must also prepare them to be able to face these same evils when they are no longer children and become adults. Let's look at John 17, 24. John 17, verse 24. I'm sorry, John 17, 15. John 17, verse 15. "I do not pray that you would take them out of the world, but that you would keep them from the evil one." You know, even though it's hard and you don't like to take your children out to rub elbows with the corruption of this world, you know, we try to protect them and we don't want them to be around all these evil things and on all the bad that's going on. This is still the world that we live in and have to make a living in. So when we give our children the proper foundation as little children, teaching them God's ways and learning to leave things in God's hands, they will be well equipped to deal with the world around them. We have to be diligent in our teachings that they will outweigh the teachings of the god of this world. And we know who that is. It's Satan, the god of this world. And you can see that in 2 Corinthians 4:4. We're not going to turn there. Now let's go and read verse 18, John 17, verse 18. "Even as you did send me into the world, I have also sent them into the world." Christ was talking about his disciples. And that's us too today. We're into the world. You know, our children can never be an example if no one ever sees them, if they're hid away all the time, you know? Now this brings us back to the passing of the baton. Run the race. Get it right when the time comes. Now this is some basics about the race, the relay. The standard approach is for each man's leadoff runner to start with the baton in his right hand, his or her right hand. The runner that stays on the inside of the lane, the second runner who waits until a leadoff runner approaches, then starts sprinting inside a 10-meter fly zone. At the end of the fly zone, a 20-meter passing zone begins. The exchange must be made inside this area. Now, the leadoff runner places the baton in the second runner's hand. The second runner runs that leg, hugging the outside of the lane, and follows the same sequence in passing to the third runner's right hand. The third runner then passes to the anchor's left hand. This is where the U.S. team failed to connect in Beijing. And if all has gone good and right, everyone watches the last runner sprint to the finish. In other words, there are three exchanges in every race, and each exchange must take place inside a 20-meter area. If the runner goes outside his or her lane, or a pass takes place outside the area, that area, the team is disqualified. Notice that in passing the baton, it's all about timing and being in the right place at the right time. If you're not in the right zone, you are done. You lose. Now, God knows the precise time, and it is His intent for each generation to pass the baton on to the succeeding generation. So does this mean that you young people just can kick back and say, oh, well, I'll just lead the good life and, you know, let God call me when I get ready, when He gets ready? Well, you can do that, but this is a dangerous road, and you probably won't lead the good life. In fact, it will probably be quite the opposite. Your road is liable to be strewn with many pitfalls. You young people need to be preparing to take the baton in a spiritual sense from the elders of the church. That handoff must be practiced by your spiritual preparation and growth. However, in this race, you don't have to finish first, you just have to finish, which is overcoming and qualifying to be in God's kingdom. Now, the remainder of this message is aimed at you young people and how you need to be prepared to grab that baton from your parents and the benefits that come from winning this race. And I'd just like to mention, Mark and I were talking about this up on the hill where we were camping, that, you know, we don't have in our little church in Grand Junction, we don't have a lot of people coming up behind us. You know, in the former administration, years before, you know, they had spokesman club, and they trained the young men to come up and bring them along and be speakers. Well, we don't have spokesman club, and we have Mark Algart and Scott Bacher as young men in our church, and one other young man, his family comes, you know, about half the time, but we don't have anybody coming up behind us right now. I mean, we don't have anybody to pass that baton to. And so me, Mark and I were talking about that, and we need to learn how to find a way to bring these young men along so that they can, you know, step up to the plate and fill in. You know, I recently saw an ad for Liberty University, which is a Christian college located in Lynchburg, Virginia. Maybe some of you have heard of it. Their motto is Training Champions for Christ. Now, since they are a Christian college, they're probably, no doubt, you know, a lot better than some of these liberal colleges we have in our country. However, they are not training champions for Christ because they are not teaching God's truth. They teach a false gospel. They teach a false gospel because they are not teaching what Jesus Christ taught his disciples and what he teaches us in the Bible. And I mention this just because we need to be careful where we get our information. Now, you young people, there are great benefits from listening to your parents and adhering to the laws that God laid out for us to live by. As teenagers, you know, it's sometimes extremely difficult. And as I said before, for those of us who've raised kids, my kids were, you know, like everybody else, it was hard because everything happens on the Sabbath. And it's extremely difficult to see this as the world we live in is so Satan-oriented, so full of enticing stuff. This is especially true when the Sabbath is concerned. The Sabbath is indeed the world's day. You might say, what? I thought it was the Lord's day. Well, it is the Lord's day. But to the world, that's the day they do everything. You know, if there's a parade or a concert or whatever there is, activity, it's on the Sabbath. I mean, you know, that's where they go shopping and with everything they do, that's their day. And Sunday's their day to, you know, supposedly worship God. You know, so Sabbath is the world's day. And he, Satan, loves to grab you young people, you know, say, woe is me, I can't play ball because all of the games are on the Sabbath. And I heard this, woe is me, I can't be in music because all the concerts are on the Sabbath. And it's true. And the list goes on. But instead of looking at all the snares that Satan puts out there, let's look at some of the wonderful things God has in store for you young people who have the vision to see ahead. Now, we already read Exodus 20:12, which is the commandment with promise, and basically guaranteed a long life if you honor and obey your parents. This includes listening to their teachings and following them. Now, you young people, what do you want to do when you grow up? You know, the possibilities will be endless in the kingdom. But what about now? Well, if you're obeying your parents as God commands, he will bless you and he will give you special protection from the evils of this world in whatever you endeavor to do, if it is a good thing. You know, God does not promise you an easy life. Your parents don't necessarily have an easy life, but the rewards are great. Ask any athlete. Winning a race never comes without sacrifice and a lot of hard work. But any athlete will tell you, no sacrifice is too great to give in order to cross the finish line. In our case, the finish line is to be in God's kingdom, to be his sons and daughters, to be kings and priests. And you young people have a very special role to play in this. We don't know how long a time we have. We don't set dates like some people do. We don't know how long we have before God's kingdom is set up on the earth. But if it does not apply to you, it will probably apply to your children. However, signs seem to point that you will be the adults entering into this time period. You will be pioneers in the kingdom and will help establish God's government on this earth. To be physical leaders, setting an example for those who have not been a part of God's church. You will have the opportunity to be showing and teaching other young people God's ways because you have learned from your parents and from being in church and obeying God. Now, if you go into the kingdom as a physical human being, you will have a very special role that no other generation will have. You will be in charge, possibly, of giant reconstruction projects because this earth will have to be completely rebuilt. You will be overseers of physical workers. If your parents qualified for the first resurrection, you will have a direct access to the spiritual realm of government. And your little ones can have playtime with Grandma and Grandpa, who reside in the spiritual world. However, if you are baptized, of course, you will qualify for the greatest reward of all, that of a king or a priest. Let's say you are in this first resurrection and have a family of your own at this time. Your little children could have angels for babysitters. How great is that? So what will this world be like? Well, the Bible gives us some clues. Let's go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. And we'll read verses 6 through 9. Isaiah 11, starting in verse 6. Isaiah 11, verse 6. Also the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the cub lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Which animal would you like to have you could lead around and pet? You have your pick. And the cow and the bear shall feed their young ones, shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. This is something. And the suckling child shall play in the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hands on the viper's den. But they shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse standing as a banner for the people. To him the nation shall seek, and his rest shall be glorious. So that is a little glimpse of what the kingdom will be like in the new world. Now let's go to another one in Zechariah 8. Zechariah 8. Starting in verse 1, and we'll go to verse 8. Zechariah 8, 1. And the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. Thus says the Lord, I have returned to Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus says the Lord of hosts, there shall yet be old men and old women sitting in the streets of Jerusalem, each man with his staff because of their great age. So there will be people living there, growing up and living to be old people. In verse 5, and the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets. Thus says the Lord of hosts, if it is marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in those days, will it not also be marvelous in my eyes, says the Lord? So God's looking forward to this very much, the same as we are. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. Well, brethren, what we have to do now is continue on pressing toward the kingdom. We as older people preparing to hand off that baton to you, the next generation. Looking to that time when we will hear Christ say, "Well done, you good and faithful servant. Enter into the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." This is our goal, and you young people need to get ready to do your part. Now let's go to Hebrews. We'll close with this scripture, Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great throng of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin that so easily entraps us, and let us run the race set before us with endurance. Having our minds fixed on Jesus, the beginner and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that lay ahead of him, endured the cross, although he despised the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God." So, this is what we have to look forward to. We know we have a lot of bad times coming. We heard that yesterday from Rich. But we now see the end result is going to be wonderful if we can endure to the end. So thank you for listening. Have a great, fun, and safe afternoon at Adventure Park.